Hello, I'm Todd Starnes, lead pastor of Odessa First Assembly, and I am grateful that you joined us today. I hope and pray that this message will encourage you and bless you. And remember, you can find more information about us at odessafirstassembly.com. God bless you. Been in the Promises of God series, and I've enjoyed it. I know that might sound awkward or weird. I really have. I hope you have too. And so the promise this morning that we're going to talk about is one that I had planned at the very beginning. The Lord put in my heart. One of the reasons why is because it is my absolute. I know I like share scripture sometimes. I'm like, this is my favorite. This is like my favorite. This is the top of the list. But just really quick, because it has been 9 weeks, I just really quickly want to talk about some of the things we've talked about, just to remind you. Week one, we talked about what are the promises of God, how we stand on the promises, and maybe you want to go back and look at YouTube or the podcast or whatever and catch up on these, how to stand, how to receive His promises, how His promises do not return void. The second week, we talked about those promises either being a truth that really speaks into our life, that shapes us and molds us, kind of like a command, or a promise that we receive. It's just a promise of God that He gives us, and it changes our outlook on life. It does a miracle on the inside of us. Week three, we talked about the triumphal entry of Jesus and how the people, you know, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, but He came in riding on the donkey. We talked about the significance of what that donkey represented, of Him being bringing peace, Him being the Messiah. And of course, week four was Easter week, Resurrection Sunday. And our scripture that week was Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit dwells in you. Week five, we talked about John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came what? To give us life, and life abundantly. Week number six, we talked about Psalm 34:7. Delight yourself in the Lord. We focused in on that, delighting in the Lord, and then He'll what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Week eight, the week before Mother's Day, we talked about Romans 8:28. I went through the life of Joseph, and we focused in on that verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And this morning we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 through 16 to kind of give us the whole core of what's going on here. But I titled this sermon that God does more. God does more. I want you to say it with me. God does more. He always does more. And hopefully I can kind of give an understanding of what I mean by that. And so I started my timer late, so too bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to tell you this really quickly why that's my favorite verse. We're going to read the rest of the text in just a moment. I'm going to say I was a time in my life where I felt called of God as before I was married. I was in my early 20s, and I was a delivery guy, salesman for Miss Barrett's, and things were going well. I had a good job. I was making decent money, and I was youth pastoring, you know, on the side and in Monahans. And I really got to this place where I was just fried. I was tired. I was exhausted of doing both. I was working a lot of hours and sort of really kind of contemplating about leaving ministry. And I was like, you know, I can give. I'll serve. I'll mow the lawn. You know, I'll do stuff. And my youth pastor calls me one day, and he says, hey, we have this evangelist at our church, and you really need to come and hear this guy. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll come. And what do you know it? This is how it happened so many times. Like, that day was the worst day. Like, some 27 years later, I'm like, that was the worst day ever. I mean, it was awful. It was like, because part of my route, I delivered to a lot of prisons, and I kid you not, I delivered to three prisons, and all three of them had lockdowns. And I know maybe not everybody understand what that is, but it means I was stuck there for a really long time. And I mean, the day just kept getting later. I started my route about 2 in the morning, and now I'm driving home from Fort Stockton. I mean, it's like 5 o'clock. I mean, I'm thinking, there's no way I can make it to Midland to hear this guy. And so I called him. I was like, man, I'm just not going to make it. And he's like, okay, I understand, you know. But I got home, and you know how the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit locks on, has anybody ever experienced that? I mean, he don't let go. And I'm like, I just had that knowing that I needed to go. And I was like, but I'll be late. And, you know, all the excuses, right? But this, but I still have that far to drive. I'll be late. But this, but that, you know. And so finally, I just relented. I was like, okay, I'm going. And I walk in the church in Midland First Assembly. And I walk in through the back doors. I mean, worship's over. They had just introduced the speaker. And I walk in the church. I walk in the back doors, and it's a pretty large sanctuary. I walk in the back of the church, and he just catches me. He's like, you right there that just came in, come sit right here. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of them days. And but that text he preached on that night was this verse. And it has become a life verse for me ever since, because I had an encounter with God that night that forever shifted my path in life. And I'm going to tell you, that's what the promises of God will do. Amen. Whatever situation you find yourself in, I'm going to tell you, God has a word for you. I'm not saying you as in generality. I'm talking about each and every one of you, us as individuals. God, he wants to share his heart with you. And so many times we miss it. Why? Because we get locked up in our circumstance. We get locked up in busyness. We get locked up in so many things that doesn't matter. If you would just stop and take a breath and be still, God wants to speak into you. Not in a generality, but where you are, what you're facing, what you're going through. And we pick up in verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And it is very significant when you look at that verse. Spirit of the world is lowercase, but the Spirit is from God is capitalized. That we might understand the things that God has freely given us. And we impart this in words not by human wisdom, taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. And here is a key statement that we're going to close with this morning at the end of service. But we have the mind of Christ. Now listen to me. I know that sometimes life, it seems like just, if I can just make it through. I mean, sometimes, and some of you may be in the places, you're like, if I can just make it through the day, or maybe even if I can just make it through this minute, you know, just give me this minute, if I can just get through this moment right now. Maybe you're taking those big breaths and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to convince yourself, okay, I can do this. Sometimes it is difficult to see a good future. This is like Angela was talking about just a few moments ago in worship. Listen, there should be no doubt in our mind that this is the last days. There should be none whatsoever. I believe we're at the cusp, at the brink of that, the rapture of the church happening in that twinkling of an eye. I mean, it could be any moment. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled every day, it seems like. I don't believe it's going to be long before the Father turns to the Son and says, go get my bride. I think it could be any moment, but listen to me. Whatever the world looks like around us, I know I sound like a broken record here recently, but listen to me. Whatever is happening around us should not really impact what God is doing on the inside of us. And the circumstance may say different, but in the presence of God, in that shelter, in that hiding place that we have with Him, I'm going to tell you that it's good. that you can be at peace, that you can be whole, excuse me. So some things I believe, as I'm processing this, and so, I mean, there are some really core personal beliefs that I have. And kind of to, first to get this thing off the runway, I want to share this with you. There's a few things very quickly. One is this, is that God wants us to be His more than He wants us to be happy. And I know in our culture, and a lot what we're hearing on, TV preaching, I mean, we're not really hearing that so much, but listen to me. It's far more important with a Father that you're reconciled with Him. That's God's mission. That's why He sent Christ, that we could be the reward of Christ's suffering. Does that mean that God doesn't want you happy? That's not what I said at all. But He wants you His. He wants you reconciled with Him. The Bible says in Romans 5:10, for while we were enemies before we came to Christ and received that forgiveness, you didn't understand something. You were an enemy to God. But we received that forgiveness that was paid for us. And so what did it do? We were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, so that we are now reconciled. We shall be saved by His life. God wants us His. God wants you with Him for eternity more than He wants you to have a big house, or five cars, or whatever it may be. Not that there's anything wrong with that stuff. Number two is this, is that, I mean, think of, how many of you, this is not rhetorical, just really quick, I hope I'm not alone in this. How many had to hit rock bottom for God to get your attention? Would you raise your hand? How many had to hit, come on, raise it high, don't do this number, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of us kind of had to hit rock bottom. I mean, that's kind of proof in that, right? I mean, God, sometimes we listen to me, if there's somebody that your heart is broken for, maybe they have spent decades away from God, sometimes you have to get to the place, God, do whatever it takes in their life. And it's okay to pray that. It's hard to pray that, but it's okay to pray that. Number two is this, God shapes us in difficult times. God uses difficult times to shape us. I know this sounds repetitive of so many services recently, but listen, the Bible says in James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And pick some verse 4, it gives us the process. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Listen, when you go through difficult times in life, God will use that to shape and mold you. That's what fire does. Fire makes us pliable in His hands. Number three is this. These are just values of me that I see in Scripture, I hold on to, that kind of get me through as I'm living this life of faith. Number three is this. God is with us in the darkest moments. God wants us His more than He wants us happy. Now listen to me. I know some are going to walk, well, PT doesn't think God wants us happy. That's not what I'm saying. He wants you His first. And then He's going to use trials in your life to shape you in the image of Christ. And then you need to know that it doesn't matter how dark the circumstance may be, God is with you. The enemy will try to deceive you and lie to you and say that you're all alone, but you are not. You are never alone. I know that maybe humanity to some degree, maybe even those close, you may feel abandoned, but God has never abandoned you. I mean, the Scripture tells us, Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not have fear, be dismayed. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is going to go with you wherever you go. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. But see, there's a fourth thing that I live by, and that is this, God does more. This is core. This is one of my values. I can't remember. Is one of, is you know, the Calfa referred to them, the old dead guys, you know, the guys that lived long before, and it was one of those dead guys, one of those prophets of God. I can't remember exactly who it was, but he had a whole list of values that he lived by, and these are four of mine. Number four, God does more. Listen to me. When things are bad, God doesn't do just enough. He does more. When life is difficult, He doesn't do just enough. I have seen it over and over and over again that God does more. When things in life look bleak and like there's no answer, God has the answer, but He just doesn't answer. God does more. It may look dark, and remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it looks darkest before the dawn, but I'm going to tell you that God, He does more. It may look like the sum of all fears are about to happen in your life, but you need to know that God does more. And it's just not in the areas that we lack, but when we think God has done just enough, He still does more. When God comes through the provision, He still does more. When God answers the prayer, He still does more. When we think God has just come through, He still does more. When we think we don't see how the if is ever going to happen, God brings about the if. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I need somebody's help. I'm about to lose my voice here. I need somebody talking back. And it gets me, all right? When I think about 1 Corinthians 2:9, maybe one that we're more familiar with is Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, we know that God does things abundantly. To me, abundantly is like overflowing, right? I mean, it's like bountiful. But God does more than that. He does far more abundantly than we could ask or think. According to the power that is at work within us, God can do anything. Far more than we could ever imagine, guess, request, or wildest dreams, God does more. There is only one power at work within us, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. I know, listen, we are a Pentecostal church, and matter of fact, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to be preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and its connection with Pentecost Sunday, and whether the Lord or me, whatever, me preaching this sermon and next week's sermon has always been the plan, and hopefully that's going to continue as the Lord wills. But listen, this week, what I'm about to talk to you about is not about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not about Pentecost, but it's about the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. And that consistent, constant nature of faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, what He's working and doing inside of us. The fact of the matter is, one of the reasons why Paul wrote the Corinthian letters, 1 Corinthians, is because the Corinthian Christians were so wrapped up in the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, they were neglecting the basic ministries of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of being too heavenly minded for earthly good. Anybody remember that saying? And that's what was really taking place in the Corinthian church. And Paul was trying to bring some, kind of in the middle of the road, kind of bring them back down to earth of just that simple work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to tread this a whole lot right here, but so now, the kind of the flaps are out. We're gaining altitude. So hold up with me here. So listen. What are some of just that work? I mean, it's not, basic doesn't do it justice. That's not really, I don't know a better word to use, foundational maybe, but the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is this. One is the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. It is important when you're praying for somebody to come to faith, you pray the Holy Spirit work in their life. Derek was, during that freedom moment of worship, Derek quoted the verse about that the Holy Spirit brings that conviction. And that's exactly what it is. That's what draws us to God. And matter of fact, if you write in your Bible, that's what I'm trying to think of. That's what that meant. Win, lose, or draw. And so you may be one of those. Listen to me. In John 6:44, It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, draws him. Here's what's interesting. That word draws, and the Greek, you know what it means? It literally means to drag. Some of you didn't know your mama was doing the gift of the Holy Spirit by dragging you, huh? That's why some of us got some big ears, grabbed us by the ear and drug us to church. But draw, and that's the literal word, to draw. How does this flesh out? In our life, it is what that is conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. Number two is this. It's this process. The Holy Spirit regenerates. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. He renews. He restores. He makes us new. I mean, we talk about the verse all the time in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he's what? He is a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. I mean, you read through Ephesians and Colossians. You read about the old man being pushed off and becoming that new man, that new person in Christ. And so the Holy Spirit renews us, but he just doesn't renew us in the work of salvation. He renews us consistently in our faith. Now, I don't know. I mean, Shaylee, she got stuck in Seagraves. She went to Perryton. She was a road warrior this weekend and to a friend's graduation, and she was coming back. We knew there were storms. We're trying to decide of what to do and whether to send her or stay in Lubbock. But she got caught in Seagraves in a flash flood and had to stay the night with some friends there. And we told her, we said, don't worry. We know somebody in every town. You're good. You're going to be okay. We'll figure this out. But you know that, and of course, at my, I don't know if y'all got, but I got squat at my house. I mean, nothing. Did anybody get any rain last night? So Gardendale got hammered, I think. And with rain, not as it's sit. Never mind. But you know how the dry ground responds when that rain comes. Sometimes we just need that, and the Holy Spirit does that in our faith. And that's what's important about those moments, like when Derek consistently allows that time. That's what that's for, is to allow just that process, that work of just receiving that renewing work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I thought it was pretty funny, but I forget how they said it over here, but you know, Martha, Martha, chill out during the drama. You know, I don't, you can, if you don't know that, go read your Bible. But anyway, I mean, sometimes you just got to sit at the feet of Jesus and just soak in the presence. Don't ever get too busy for his presence. Don't ever get too busy for his presence, because you'll be renewed and you'll be refreshed. And I mean, things will look different when you spend those moments with Jesus. You'll come out and the grass will be greener. You'll be in a better mood. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we all know the hangry, right? We, you know, we get hungry and we get a little angry. The same thing happens with us spiritually. We get hangry spiritually, and we need that refreshing, that renewing work of the Holy Spirit. The other thing is this, is that we are adopted into sonship. So this regeneration takes place, this spiritual regeneration, and then we find ourselves as sons and daughters of Christ. That is a work through the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I don't know if you've ever, I mean, we encounter this a lot, but it is sometimes when you're maybe at a restaurant or a public place, at some time, without even really having a conversation, there's so many times that me and Angela, like, maybe we see somebody and we'll kind of start talking. It's like, I bet you they're Pentecostal pastors. You ever had that happen? Or even just believe, I bet you they're believers. And you strike up that conversation, and sure enough, because there is a work of the Holy Spirit in us that is speaking to us that we are the children of God. I'm going to tell you, that spirit will bear witness with another spirit too. But the spirit of adoption, it's what makes us His. And then we see another powerful part of salvation and regeneration and the sonship that sometimes we don't hear too often about. And it's this, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You'll read in 2 Corinthians 1 and 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. Verse 22. And He has also put His seal on us, giving us His Spirit and our hearts as a guarantee. You can read other, in Philippians 1, it talks about along the same, 1:16, I think, it talks about along the same lines. What happens is you have been given, when you get saved, you're given the Holy Spirit, then that's what renews you. That's what makes you a new creation. The Holy Spirit at work in you is what regenerates you. That work of the Holy Spirit in you is what causes you to be able to say, yes, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. But the Holy Spirit also is a deposit. I mean, we understand what a deposit is, right? He's that deposit, that symbol, that seal saying, listen, once you are new, once you are mine, I've got an eternal home for you. That seal of the Holy Spirit. And some of these things is what the Corinthian church was forgetting about. But listen to me. I want to get, of course, to our text. And it's not going to take long, but listen, verse 9. So how does all this relate? I really kind of wanted us to, you know, lay this foundation. But 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of man. No man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I've been so blessed in life to see some amazing things. I really have. I've been to different places in the world, mostly because of missions trips. I've seen some pretty cool stuff. And if I'd have been processing around, I'd try to have some pictures. But I mean, we've been to San Cristobal and the mountains of Tuxtla and the Chiapas. I went to El Salvador and the jungles and just some churches and some just beautiful places and all over the state. So I've just been able to travel and see so many neat things. And I think they're going to throw some things. But I mean, think about that verse. Think about some of the most beautiful, wonderful things you've ever laid your eyes on. Maybe it was some kind of scenery and it was just breathtaking to you. And that should qualify something of what God is giving us here. He says, no eye has seen what I've prepared for you. You have not seen with your physical eye what I've prepared for you. And some credit the scripture or say this just has to do with heaven. But if you read 1 Corinthians in its entirety, in its context, you know it's also for today, not just for a future moment in time. Or how about it says what no ear has heard. Now I looked it up. Sometimes I think, I don't know where Google gets this stuff. But I Googled, what is the number one most beautiful song ever? And this is what Google said. It's not what PT said. Okay, never mind. That bores me. Maybe that's your thing. I'm sorry. We actually have to be careful. Hopefully that didn't kick us offline. So if we did get knocked off, just know online they're going to get us back on as soon as we can. But because that's a whole other thing. One of my favorite things and a hearing is especially when the kids were little, you know, walking in the house and hearing that, Daddy! And they always say it just like that, Daddy! You know, I loved opening a door and all three of them running up, Daddy! I mean, it's one of the most beautiful sounds I think a father could ever hear. And yet Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. No music has been composed. I mean, if I was running Google, the answer would have been like, you know, Unseen Power by Petra. That's a good song. But even better than Petra, better than maybe your favorite hymn or favorite song, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has no man imagined. Think about that for a moment. What I'm talking about is what God has planned for you. And I feel really okay like preaching along this line because I've preached so often and so much about trials and circumstances and fire and all those things. But you need to have some hope this morning to know that God's got something ready for you than what you've ever experienced. I mean, God's got something in store for you that you can't even imagine. I mean, when you think about what you've thought about, what you've dreamt about, maybe you've got a dream about some ministry. Maybe you've got some dream about a reconciliation, some vision that God has given you. And you need to know that whatever God is working inside your spirit, He does more. He does more. And then we get to verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And I think sometimes that's where we miss it. Yes, God has prepared these things. And think about this for a second. When we're looking at 1 Corinthians 2:9, what's the qualifier there? I mean, there's so many verses that are like, if my people humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, or submit to God, then the devil will flee. There's so many if-then promises. But listen to me. The only qualifier right here to get tapped into what God has prepared for you is to know that you love Him. I mean, we know that God first loved us, but when He understands and knows that we love Him, it opens up this door to what God has in store for us. These things God has prepared, He reveals it to us by His Spirit. And so many times, because maybe we, you know, regardless of where we are in our belief system, listen to me. We know that there's the triune Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is that third person, the Trinity, that has been sent for a mission and a purpose. Regardless if you believe in tongues or not, that work of the Holy Spirit that takes place on the inside of us wants to bring revelation to you of what God's got in store for you. Isn't that beautiful? These things God has revealed us through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the same attributes of God because the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And then we get to John 16, right? I could do a whole sermon series on John 16. Well, I've got to hurry. John 16, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. Listen to me, truth is just not a subject, truth is a person, and it's found in the person of Jesus. How do we know that? For you shall know the truth and the what? And the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. That was good preaching, right? I just threw that in there. Okay. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Okay, I'm like 1.5. You know, you ever read your Bible? We were talking about that earlier. I mean, when I read my Bible online, I like do it like 2 times faster, you know, because that guy reads too slow. So I'm like, I'm amping it up here to get done. But listen to me. God, He wants to share stuff with you. He wants to use the Holy Spirit to make things known to you. And I'm going to throw this there really quick. So many people are so worried about the will of God and their life. But listen to me. When you love God and you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you, God is too big to miss. And so you don't have to stress out over the little stuff to find God's will for your life. If you're in step with the Holy Spirit, you will, by act of walking out your faith, be walking out the will of God. That was good. If I do, thank you, Lord. That wasn't me. Wasn't even written down here. That happens sometimes. But whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to the things that come. Listen, 14, He will glorify Me, and He'll make what is Mine. He'll take from what is Mine and declare it to you. See, I have a real problem when some people kind of say, I'm going to show you this, the secret of God. I'm going to show you this thing, this new thing. I mean, Scripture's been around a while, man. You know, it's kind of hard to discover something new. I mean, sometimes it's new to us because it's like our eyes are open and it speaks to us, but there's no mystery in God anymore. It's all been laid out and revealed. And so whenever you hear a preacher talking along that way, I'm just telling you, take it with a grain of salt. That was for free. Verse 15, all the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, I'll make what is not mine and declare it to you. And of course, Jesus talks about his ascension there in verse 16. But when you look at this, think about this. God is opening up. He's revealing these things he's prepared for us. I don't know what's going on within you, but here's what I know that Scripture tells us. In verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2:11, I'm skipping ahead, Tony, so if you're following me. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I mean, the only way to really know the heart of God is through the Spirit of God. I tell people all the time, don't try to read me. Don't try to read me. Because listen, if you don't know me very well, listen. This is my resting face. This is I'm like so pumped and excited because something awesome happened to your life face. Awesome. Don't try to read me. And maybe, I don't, if you're a normal person, sometimes you think things that surprise you. Thank you for one being honest. I mean, you ever said something and said, I can't believe I just said that? Because sometimes we surprise ourselves. You know who's never surprised? The Spirit of God. Why? Because he's one with the Father. And part of his mission is to take what's from the Father and make it known to you. Because when it makes it to you, it's truth, and the truth always sets free. For who knows a person's thought except that person? Verse 12, I got to finish this. Verse 12, now we have received the spirit of the world. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that God has freely given us. I'm not talking about something new or something weird. We know scripturally there is things that God has given us because of the work that took place, and it took place at Calvary. We know that Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. We know that he was wounded that we might be healed. We know that Jesus took on all of our sin and sinfulness so that we would know righteousness. We know that Christ tasted death that we may inherit eternal life. We know that Jesus was made a curse on that cross that we might receive a blessing. We know that Jesus endured our shame so we would not know shame and take part in his glory. We know that Jesus endured rejection so that we would have the Father's acceptance. But he just doesn't stop there. God does more. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is, what is that? No eye seen, nor is heard, nor heard of the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I want to skip to that very last sentence. But we have the mind of Christ. Listen to me. If you need a working in your heart and mind, the only way that's going to come is through the Holy Spirit. Because it is only the Holy Spirit that can take from the Father and make it known to you. You know the importance of that, what that is? It tells you that you're a son or daughter of Jesus. It tells you that Christ paid for it all and has made you whole. You see, our own thoughts, our own history and life and things that we've gone through and faced, our circumstances we've been through, the enemy, I mean, it's the spirit that's at work in the world, all that is set against us as believers. Listen to me, all of it is set against us. But what we need the Holy Spirit to take from what is the Father and make known to us everything that He's prepared for you, because He has prepared peace for you. He has prepared a miracle for you. He has prepared restoration for you. He has prepared healing for you. He has prepared all these good things for you. The Bible still tells us that every good gift comes from the Father. From the Father. But it's the Spirit that searches the depths of God. It's the Spirit that reveals to us and makes known all of those things. Listen, it's not new. It may be new to us. But listen, what some of us just really need is that voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, to really speak into our inner heart and say, and hear those words, I paid for that. I got this. Quit that voice that's rumbling around like a bowling ball with pins in your head. Would you just ignore that and hear what I'm trying to tell you? That you're not a failure, you're a saint. That you haven't messed up too much. That you are still a worthy vessel. That I still have things planned and prepared for you. And you may be at a time and season in your life where things are good. Where maybe, I mean, there's some abundance, there's provision, there's, I mean, life's good, family's good. Listen, wherever you are, don't get stagnant. Why? Because God's got more. God's got more.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that this message was an encouragement to you. Remember, you can find more about us at odessafirstassembly.com and also across the social media platforms. It is our prayer that God blesses you, keeps you, sustains you. And if you're ever in the area of the Permian Basin, come and join us at Odessa First Assembly. God bless you.